We love supporting and promoting the creators of musical theater throughout the world, and we would love to have your support as well. Go to musicaltheaterradio.com and click on the Become a Patron button, because a supportive community is a strong community. Welcome back to another episode of Be Our Guest here on Musical Theater Radio. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. Today's guest is making a return engagement to the show. When last we spoke, it was April of 2021. We talked a little bit about his career and the St. Lou Fringe Festival, which at that time was forced to go online. Well, not anymore. From August 15th to the 21st of 2022, it will be live and in person once again. That's so exciting to have live theater with live people in the audience. So let's find out more, a little bit more about the festival and some of the musicals that people can see there by welcoming back to the show, Matt Kearns. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hi, thank you for having me back. It's so exciting.
It's great always to have you talk about yourself and everything. So before we get to the Fringe, we got to get people to know who you are, who haven't listened to the first podcast, which they should go do. You have 20 seconds this time.
20 seconds.
Matt in 20 seconds?
So I have a master's degree from Europe University in contemporary theater performance. So I'm a performance artist, as well as a trained actor. I am also an educator. So I educate in the world of theater arts. And I, most of the time, am the president and artistic director of St. Lou Fringe. And we are a festival that we're going to talk about, but we've also expanded to a year-round organization where we do new plays, new works. We are doing a burlesque thing. This year, we're doing a holiday film festival for independent filmmakers who are interested in making holiday film shorts. And that's who I am. I am the head of the world, the independent arts in the Midwest.
Hey, that's a great title. Do you have that on your business card? Sure. You should get that.
I don't know if it would fit.
So before we delve into more musicals, let's talk of an overarching general thing about the St. Lou Fringe. Just how long has it been around and about this season and how exciting it is?
So there's lots to be proud of. We're 11 years old this year. We have made over 400 pieces of work in our history. A lot of them have gone on. One of them has gone on to Off-Broadway. And that we're proud of that because it started with us and workshopped through us for a few years. When the world had to turn into something different because of the pandemic, we were one of the first festivals in the world to become a digital festival. And we never stopped making work, which is great. Our artists were nimble and they turned, their walk-in closets into studios, and we performed live to Zoom and just made it happen and have continued trying to unfold what that looks like for people now that we're back in the world, people who are interested in continuing in the digital performative arts. And this year we are back live. We have five venues, as a matter of fact. One music stage with our friend Schlafly over at the Schlafly Taproom here in St. Louis in downtown. Three of our venues are through our partnership with the Kranzberg Arts Foundation. So we'll be at the Dot Zack Theater, which is where our main stage is. We'll be at the High-Low Literary Center, which is our experimental stage. And we'll be at the Marcel Black Box Theater, which is our very kind of traditional theater work, Confessions of a Nightingale, which is a one-man play about Tennessee Williams, where Tennessee Williams talks about his life and times. And then we're actually doing a brewery takeover of the Urban Chestnut Brewery. And we're doing performances over there as well, which is right in the same footprint of our festival. So it's very exciting. We've had more applications this year than ever before. And we do not have two cubits of space for another act because we are so full. And it is so exciting to see so many artists that have made work and are ready to come out and show it.
Just with everything that's been going on for the last couple of years, people are just clamoring to see something live and get out there again. So that's
my husband and I just ran up to the Kansas City Fringe to see some of their work. And there wasn't a seat in any of the houses. It was so full.
Really? Well, that's very cool. Well, congratulations to them. And I'm looking forward to, congratulating you in a few weeks when it's done.
Thank you.
And hearing how it turned out. So let's talk about, since we are Musical Theater Radio, let's talk about some of the musical theater acts that are happening there.
Yeah, we're really excited because, you know, through our history, we've had some great opportunities for musicals. Colin Healy launched The Gringo through us, which is a very large hit, and is going to be having development in some other regional theaters coming up in the next span of time, but that's his news to tell, not mine. And we've had a whole different kind, like all kind of different kinds of musicals. This year, I'm excited because Dawn Larson is bringing Granny Fix It, an Ozark Guide to Healing the Body and Soul. And it's a one-woman musical about the Appalachia women and the Ozark women who are and were and are medicine women of the mountains. And her grandma was one, and so it follows that storyline. And all of the music is original, and it's all done on about 5 different instruments throughout the show, all string instruments that she plays, everything from the banjo to the guitar to the mandolin. And it's really, really quite a lovely and powerful piece.
Very cool. Is she local to St. Louis, or is she?
So she's not. She grew up in the Ozarks. Mm-hmm. And then she is a professor in North Carolina. Oh. But before she went and did that, she had a production studio in Nashville, and she was in Nashville for a very long time. Yeah. So she's definitely got that sound, and she's got that history, and married it all together into this show that's really pretty cool and exciting.
That sounds like fun. It sounds like a fun, interesting show. And being a one-person show is, it's never easy. Like, and especially it's never easy when you're not local either, just to get people in. But the crowd, the concept sounds like it's going to be fun.
And just celebrate those people in humanity who don't get celebrated is really a great thing to do.
Exactly.
Let's elevate stories that we don't hear every day, which is exactly the mission of The Fringe.
Nice. Who else have we got? What other type of musicals?
So then we have another cabaret show of a very different ilk. So this is a cabaret show with several singers, but it's headed up and starring Kanemu Menu Ra. And Kanemu writes shows about love. So this is based, it's semi-autobiographical, it's a trilogy. So each night you can come to one of the 3 shows during the Fringe. Huh. That's Origins of Love, and what are the other two? I don't have them in front of me. So each night is a different show. Origins of Love, The Miseducation of Dr. K, Simple Love / Unperfect Actor, and Extraordinary. You can see all of those shows under the auspices, I made that word up, I think, of 3 Stages of Love, starring Kanemu Menu Ra and company.
That is a very cool concept.
Totally, totally. So he's St. Louis native, moved to Chicago, performs a lot at Davenport's, if you're familiar with the Davenport Show Lounge in Chicago, and is coming back. He's been to the Fringe several times throughout our history, and we're thrilled to have him back this year.
How does that work for when you have something like that? Now I'm just trying to figure that out. When you have 3 separate shows, but it's one show, but like...
I think the goal is always to like get people to buy the Fringe pass.
Yeah.
Where you can see everything. And then you can just go see Kanemu's trilogy. All for one, the price of what, $99 for an all access pass there. I would be remiss if I didn't say that out loud. Nice. So I think it's great because he really does. He loves to like talk about having love, searching for love, finding it, having love, getting it, and losing love, and starting over again. Very. And I think we've all certainly been in that cycle, or somewhere in that cycle currently, you know? Yes.
Love is pretty universal amongst humans.
So,
yeah. whatever, good or bad, wherever
you stay. Or indifferent for those who
are. Exactly. What else have we got? I know there's one or two more.
So we definitely have coming, which is going to be great, a show that's been on the circuit and is getting rave reviews and winning awards, called How to Be an Ethical Slut. And How to Be an Ethical Slut is a cabaret show starring Brooke McCarthy. And it's the ride of your life, as it is described, as an unethical slut penetrates lies, STDs, triads, orgies, and love in her musical journey to becoming an ethical slut. And it comes with a cocktail.
Really?
So, yes. Nice. Yes. Brooke is a bartender and she has made a drink called the Slut. And when you buy your ticket, you can also go to the bar and buy the Slut and drink along with it.
Do you know what's in it? Or is that a surprise? You have to wait to go.
I do. It's a vodka drink. I know that.
Okay.
Yeah, I have the recipe and it's going to go out into our social media channels in the next couple of weeks. But I think I love that somebody is standing up for sex positivity. I love that somebody is standing up and saying, just because I'm a woman and I have sex doesn't mean that I'm a slut. This term has been created to make shame instead of say, hey, these bodies have the ability to have pleasure and that's okay as long as everybody's consenting and above age.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everything, you know, it's sad that that is a thing still.
It's a thing still. And it's so fascinating to think about because, you know, the title is funny, the description is funny, but it really has a pretty heavy message of like, everybody is a sexual creature by nature of being creatures.
Yeah.
So why are we trying to shut that down? And what are we trying to turn that into? Or what have we turned that into? That now younger generations are standing up and saying, no, I don't accept those old tropes. And I'm going to re-message this for myself and for others.
Yeah. That's a fantastic message, you know, getting it out there and sounds like a fun show. You get to drink.
I mean, I think people have been loving it. I mean, I'm following it across the circuit and it really is very popular.
That's very cool.
I do want to say this too, if you don't mind. No. So we have this year, St. Louis Fringe is the premiere, the St. Louis premiere. That's a big sentence of the 24-hour play project out of New York. It's never been here before. And we are going to be the people who bring it here. And in bringing it here, we are putting together, we have four teams that are ready to meet the facilitator on Friday night, have a workshop where everybody brings in some kind of prop of some kind. They go away and a day later, the following night, they will perform a show that they've created.
Wow.
And so I bring this up because it could be a musical. I don't know that for sure. I don't know what it could be, but there is the possibility that they go away and they write a musical and come back.
So who are the people that get chosen to write, or how does this work?
That's a good question. So they ask that you bring to the table a team of 6 to 8 artists as one ensemble. Okay. And in that ensemble, there are people that are designated producers, people who are designated writers, people who are designated technicians, costume designers, and people who are designated as actors.
Wow. That sounds very cool. And if they can pull off a musical in 24 hours, more power to them.
That's more than I could do for sure.
Exactly.
I'm thrilled to watch them try. And I just think it's so exciting to have works like this coming to this region that are not only like showing everybody flexing their artistic muscles, but moreover, they're showing the amazing amount of local talent that we have.
Yeah.
And reminding everybody, I hope, that these companies that are coming to the table are here all year round and to go out and see the work that they are doing in the neighborhoods where their theaters live.
Yeah. And that's a fantastic point, because whenever we think of theater or musicals or just theater in general, we always think New York, London, even Toronto, Chicago, like that sort of thing. When artists are fantastic everywhere in the world and places like St. Louis and things like that get overlooked because they aren't considered the theater hub or whatever. And
because the flyover states, right?
Yeah.
And you know, if you pay attention to even like the New York Times recently did an article on Opera Theater St. Louis, because they just released the Harvey Milk Opera. That was his big premiere. Sean and I went and saw it. And it's like, look at what we're doing here. We're making space for new cutting edge work, even in spaces that are hard to find space for work, new work at all, like opera. Opera is not a discipline that's completely open and welcoming to new works. They're used to the kind of standard canon.
Yeah.
So opera theater is really making a difference over there and opening that door for new works and new opera in the modern day. It's very exciting.
Yeah. As a community, we need to rethink our where talent lies and where everything is, and talent is everywhere. And we just need to look for it. That's
even in kiddos, if I could just steer that segue.
Nice.
Look at that. So we always try to bring kids to the table because the Fringe is not just for adults. The Fringe is for everybody. And so we want to make sure that there's always work for everyone around. This year, we're excited because the Gateway Center for Performing Arts is a local theater school here for middle school and teens. And they are bringing something called Show Starters. And their Show Starters is their middle school cabaret series. Nice. So you and I both know there's a lot of stuff out there for teenagers, especially in the summertime. There's lots of musicals. There's lots of workshops. There is not a lot out there for middle school kids.
Yeah.
And so this opportunity is specifically for their middle school kids to come, and they're doing an hour-long cabaret show where they're going to sing the American Songbook at 12. I love it.
But they are the future.
Of course.
They are the ones that are going to be in all these shows and creating all these shows. So great.
You know, if we're talking about like creating people who are either going into the craft or kids who are going to love the arts for their whole life, mm-hmm. we want to start them and give them opportunities as early as possible.
Yeah, for sure. So. And the nice thing is they might not go on to be performers, but they might go backstage. They might write. They might be the producers. They might be the next you to take over the St. Right. Lou Fringe.
I'll tell you what, at some point they're going to have to. I think it's the same thing, you know? And I think even if they never do another thing in the arts again, we've at least instilled in them a love and respect for it, mm-hmm. and they'll come back as a patron.
Yes.
And, you know, those roles of people sitting in the seats are as important as the people on and back behind the scenes.
Yep. It's a symbiotic relationship. None of us can survive without each other. So
none of us could survive without each other. Yep. And then, I mean, I'll tell you about a few other things just for the excitement of it. First of all, like I said, we had so much interest this year. There are 5 dance concerts in the festival this year.
Wow.
We usually have 1, but to have 5 is really exciting. There's a great show coming that's really powerful. It's a mixed media performance poetry piece starring a woman named Lillian Brown, who mm-hmm. teaches at Ripon University in Wisconsin. And it's called The Oriole Complex. And in this show, Lillian is taking on the stereotypes that are ascribed to Black women. So she, as a Black woman, is going, no, I want to investigate this and I want to explore this as to why these stereotypes are stuck to us and how we let them go and show people we are just people. I think it's going to be a really powerful piece. There's a drug play is what it's called. And this is a non-linear devised piece of work about the war on drugs. Wow. So I don't know what that means, but I guess we'll find out what that dystopian rave-like atmosphere is when we all get there.
Yeah.
And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that we are so excited and thrilled to welcome back our friend Lola Vanella, who is a burlesque performer and a singer. There's definitely music in Lola's show. Lola is a hometown hero. She's from here. She discovered burlesque here. She used to be a musical theater performer. Mm. She found burlesque, fell in love with it, and became an international burlesque star. And she now lives in New Orleans, where she performs weekly. And she's bringing a show back here called The Storyville Burlesque. And I just think that it's so exciting to remember that, you know, musical theater comes from this vaudeville that comes from burlesque, and it's all tied together.
Yeah.
And in St. Louis, we have this very interesting history with it because a few decades ago, we also had an international burlesque star in Josephine Baker, who is from here. And now, a couple decades later, we have Lola Vanella, who's on that same trajectory.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like you've got this incredible festival going on there. And I know we talk about musical theater specifically on the station, yep. but more importantly, go see theater. It doesn't matter if it's musical theater, dance, or whatever. And that's the great thing about the Fringe. And no offense to anybody in the Fringe who puts on a show, the quality ranges, right? But sometimes the quality ranges because they're trying something.
That's right.
And
we're a garden, and we're an we're a biology lab, right?
Yes, exactly.
So I think I always look at us as a garden because we're planting a seed, we're watering it, we're growing it, we're seeing what happens. Sometimes it's 100% biology lab where I don't know what it is, but I want to play in this unknown space. And sometimes that works and sometimes it falls flat on its face and both answers are right and celebrated.
Exactly. Because
you've got to have a place for it somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. I hear so many times people say, oh, that wasn't a great Fringe show or whatever. I'm like, but they're figuring things out and it may not be right now, but give it time. Like you said, it's got to grow and figure things out.
You got to water it. You got to nurture it. And it takes time to grow these things. If you look at shows, look at something. I always remember the history of Avenue Q. Avenue Q took like, 10 years, I think it was, to get to Broadway. And a lot of those stories have the exact same trajectory. It's a long road of trying it, taking it back. We, as a matter of fact, here in St. Louis, just over at Stages, had the Karate Kid try out.
Oh, yeah.
So the Karate Kid musical just tried out here. We went and saw it. I think it's great. They're going to take it offline from what they learned here, and they're going to put it back in the studio for a year. And it's not set to open until fall of, 2023 on Broadway? So they've got about a year to take it back and recalibrate whatever they feel like needs to be reworked before it goes. Yeah. That's essentially what happens at the Fringe too, across the disciplines. It's just not limited to theater or musical theater. It's everything. And it's super exciting. Right. Super exciting that tryout happened. And now, did you know about the Devil Wears Prada happening in Chicago right now? Musical The Devil Wears Prada is trying out in Chicago right now.
Yes, I've heard about it, and I don't know enough about it because there's just too much.
You should research. People are on the TikToks giving their reviews as they're seeing it.
Yeah.
And they are ranging, which is interesting, from like love it, loved pieces of it, hate it, it doesn't work, it totally works. I mean, it's really great to see. I'll tell you, I was living there when the Addams Family tried out there,
and
it was the same thing. I mean, people ranged all over the place and they took that thing back into workshop and they reworked it before they released it on Broadway. So these kinds of places that do this, like the Fringe and the other theaters that are participating in these kind of experimental growing processes, they're very important. And the patrons' input is equally super important.
Yeah. So, well, congratulations on getting the festival up again, live and in person. Give us some information about how people can go see it, where they can get tickets, all that, the important stuff.
So St. Louis Fringe happens August 15th through August 21st in the Grand Center Arts District and beyond here in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find all of the digital program and all of the calendared events at stlfringe.org under the STL Fringe Fest 2022 tab on our homepage. And you can buy tickets for as little as $15, and they range, the highest ticket price is a $99 all access pass, which gets you access to almost 50 shows.
Wow.
You can't beat that with a stick, as my grandma used to say.
That would take a lot of looking at the program, looking at the schedule and trying to figure that out.
But I mean, that's where we're at. Artists want their work out there again.
That's fantastic. Matt, congratulations on the Fringe. You've given me another reason. I'm going to try and get out to St. Louis maybe next summer.
We have a guest room. You're always welcome.
You are too. Cause I got to meet you. I got to go see the Fringe. The Muni's out there.
We just saw Sweeney Todd, which has never been done at the Muni ever in its whole 100-year history.
Wow.
And let me tell you this is a great story because it might not get out to you guys that way. So we were there on opening night and we were sitting there, and that music, it just can't stop.
Oh, yeah.
Once it's going. Well, so the Muni is in the middle of Forest Park. Mm-hmm. So randomly over by this place that hosts weddings, right as we're getting to the end of Act One, this ginormous fireworks show starts. And we're all like, all right, trying to like watch the show, kind of watching the fireworks and back and forth. And they're just like, Mrs. Lovett and Sweeney are just like racing. They're like, we've got to get through this.
Yeah.
So she finally gets to it. And she finally says, well, you know me, bright ideas just pop into me head. And she just stops and looks at the fireworks and waits for them to finish. I was like, and that is the genius of the Muni. Brilliant. At some point, I will come on here and I will tell you every childhood movie story I have where things like that have happened. And you watch these professional, amazing artists just go, cool, I got to figure out how to deal with that happening right now.
Live theater. Can't beat it. I don't care how much you love movies and TV. They're not going to do any of that stuff.
The art of gathering is magical.
It's awesome. I'm going to make it out of St. Louis. I've never been out there. I'm going to do that next summer at some point. So awesome. Again, thank you, Matt. Congratulations and break a leg with the festival this year.
I'm the Fringe. See you there.
Awesome. All right. We were just speaking with Matt Kearns, who's in charge of the St. Louis Fringe Festival, which is going on August 15th to the 21st of 2022. Tune in next week as we'll be speaking with another guest or guests about their life, love, and passion that is musical theater. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. And until next time, I'll see you when I see you.